be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Lazarus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with Mary in the house, comforting her, saw her get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how much he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. So today at this Mass, we celebrate the third scrutiny for those who will be received into the Church through the sacrament of baptism at the Easter Vigil Mass. And I hope they're all here today. I didn't get a chance to check before, but we'll see. Anyway, this week we have the third of the scrutiny readings. 2 weeks ago, we had the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus said, "I am the living water." Last week, we had the story of the man born blind, where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." This week, today with Lazarus and his sisters, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." These are points of faith by which we come to believe in Jesus. And this is the faith that these catechumens have been preparing for. But as I like to do sometimes, I like to meditate on Scripture. So just for a moment, let's do this exercise where we imagine ourselves as one of the people in the story today. First of all, imagine yourself as Jesus. And this is easy to do because Jesus became one of us. Even though he's still God, he became one of us. What strikes me, first of all, is that Jesus is truly in danger. They're trying to kill him, and he knows it. And he says, "Let's go up to Judea anyway." The second thing is that Jesus is truly mourning the loss of his friend, Lazarus. I was thinking about this, and when I meditate, sometimes I find drawing my own personal life experiences into the story. I'm thinking about a friend of mine I had shortly after I graduated from college. And I had just started my company in advertising, and one of my clients was a hotel company, and I would go to their office and I would work on brochures and things for them. My favorite brochure I ever wrote was titled "Eat, Drink, and Get Married." Catchy, huh? Because they had catering service, right? Anyway, I became really good friends with the architect, who is a young guy. He was the architect. They were developing all kinds of properties, this company. And he was a really good friend, and I discovered that he went rappelling in West Texas, and his ropes jammed, and he died of exposure on a cliff face. They couldn't get down to him with a helicopter, and I found out about it because they announced it on the radio on Thanksgiving. I was driving down the road, and here my friend was dead. And I always think about that emotion that I felt, that grief, because that was such a sudden, unexpected. He was a friend, right? And you don't lose friends that often, thanks be to God. But I did. And so I was thinking, this is Jesus who's grieving the loss of his friend. And when we think about this, we can see in him our own uncertainties, our sufferings, our sadness. Jesus knows what this is. And if we look now and we see his true humanity, we will be able to identify ourselves with him again when we look upon his body on the cross in 2 weeks and realize that his body is our body. If we've done our homework, we will also be able to look at him after he is risen from the dead and know with confidence that his glorified body is also our body. Today, Jesus gives us his promise of life that gets us through the hardest times. So now let's imagine ourselves as Martha and Mary. I think this is where they came up with M&Ms. Martha and Mary's. Just think about that as a little scriptural thing. You know, it's like the Apple logo that has the bite out of it. You know, the computer is like original sin for many people. So Martha and Mary both have the same line. They say, "If you had been here, Jesus, my brother would not have died." So this is when we experience loss. Sometimes we like to go after God and say, "Why? Why did you let this happen? Why are you causing this to happen?" In an interesting way, we're given the insight that Jesus knew that all of this was going to happen from the beginning, right? He tells his disciples, "Lazarus is dead." First of all, he says, he waits 2 days and waits for him to die, and then he says, "Lazarus is dead." But they have faith in his ability to give life. I'm not sure if they knew the stories about Jairus' daughter in Capernaum, who Jesus raised from the dead. That's in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Or if they knew about the story of the widow in Nain, whose son was dead, and Jesus brought him back to life. That's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. The stories must have been known to them. So they must have been just saying, well, I don't know, dare we ask? Would Jesus maybe do this for a dear friend, bring him back to life? But despite their fear and sorrow for his friend's loss, Jesus does something. Jesus gives life. Now imagine yourself as Lazarus. And I think this is the most interesting one of all. What did this feel like? Do you think that he was reluctant to come back a second time? I think maybe he might have been. But the souls of the just were still not yet released from that place where they were being held. They were not released into heaven until Jesus' own death on the cross. So it wasn't like Jesus pulled him back out of heaven to back to earth. I think that in this case, Lazarus is a kind of a type or prefiguring for Jesus' own story. But like any analogy, it doesn't work completely. Remember, Lazarus still had to die all over again. Certainly, it was probably easier the second time, as Jesus gave Lazarus the gift of witnessing his own salvation by being alive for the events of Holy Week to come. But for sure, if you're Lazarus, you know you're a lightning rod. Raising someone from the dead at this particular point would draw a lot of believers, and it would be the last straw for many people. Clearly, the leaders of the people were already trying to trap him, as Thomas witnesses when he says, "Let us go also and die with him." So let us consider ourselves now a member of their family. Like the girls, if you'd been here, this would never have happened. This is probably something we would ask the Lord, where were you when this happened? Sometimes people come to confession and they confess complaining to God in this way. And I always try to say, well, if you're complaining to God, that is a sign of great faith. It indicates a kind of connection or engagement or even familiarity that you have with God. Familiarity and family, nice connection of words there. Complaint's not necessarily a bad thing. It can be an act of faith. But this family of yours is broken with grief. And yet we see that this grief can be a doorway for faith and hope to grow. Like Lazarus, he wants to bring us to life. But first we must go through the death that he undergoes. And in the Catholic faith, we believe, and I think most Christian churches would say the same thing, because they all have the St. Paul's letters, that we believe in baptism, we die. You and I are now living in the tomb, awaiting that moment of resurrection that is yet to come. We have kind of a worldview, you might say, that's completely upside down from the secular views of this world. So we're about to come to the mystery of the Triduum. Jesus' life-saving work has come to the point of no turning back. Jesus has committed to his passion and death by this final miracle that causes the people to gather and march with him from the home of Lazarus in Bethany across the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem with olive branches and palms that they gather along the way. Palm Sunday is next Sunday. This last miracle forces the people of his time and our time as well to finally decide whether or not Jesus is the resurrection and the life, as he says. If so, we must be all in with him in his hour of need. If we do not believe, life does not matter anyway. There are three among us who have prepared since last summer to be brought to life by the water of baptism, our catechumens. We have many more already baptized who will make a profession of faith in the church at the Easter Vigil and receive the other sacraments of initiation, confirmation, and Eucharist. I would ask now that our three catechumen please come forward with their sponsors.